Eddie Willers ate his dinners in the employees' cafeteria of the Taggart Terminal. There was a restaurant in the building, patronized by Taggart executives, but he did not like it. The cafeteria seemed part of the railroad, and he felt more at home. The cafeteria lay underground. It was a large room with walls of white tile that glittered in the reflections of electric lights and looked like silver brocade. It had a high ceiling, sparkling counters of glass and chromium, a sense of space and light. There was a railroad worker whom Eddie Willers met at times in the cafeteria. Eddie liked his face. They had been drawn into a chance conversation once, and then it became their habit to dine together whenever they happened to meet. Eddie had forgotten whether he had ever asked the worker's name or the nature of his job. He supposed that the job wasn't much, because the man's clothes were rough and grease-stained. The man was not a person to him, but only a silent presence with an enormous intensity of interest in the one thing which was the meaning of his own life, in Taggart Transcontinental. Tonight, coming down late, Eddie saw the worker at a table in a corner of the half-deserted room. Eddie smiled happily, waving to him, and carried his tray of food to the worker's table. In the privacy of their corner, Eddie felt at ease, relaxing after the long strain of the day. He could talk as he did not talk anywhere else, admitting things he would not confess to anyone, thinking aloud, looking into the attentive eyes of the worker across the table. "The Rio Norte line is our last hope," said Eddie Willers, "but it will save us. We'll have at least one branch in good condition where it's needed most, and that will help to save the rest." "It's funny, isn't it, to speak about a last hope for Taggart Transcontinental? Do you take it seriously if somebody tells you that a meteor is going to destroy the Earth?" "I don't either." "From ocean to ocean forever. That's what we heard all through our childhood, she and I. No, they didn't say forever, but that's what it meant. You know, I'm not any kind of a great man. I couldn't have built that railroad. If it goes, I won't be able to bring it back. I'll have to go with it." "Don't pay any attention to me. I don't know why I should want to say things like that. Guess I'm just a little tired tonight." "Yes, I worked late. She didn't ask me to stay, but there was a light under her door long after all the others had gone." "Yes, she's gone home now." "Trouble? Oh, there's always trouble in the office, but she's not worried. She knows she can pull us through." "Of course it's bad. We're having many more accidents than you hear about. We lost two diesels again last week, one just from old age, the other in a head-on collision." "Yes, we have diesels on order at the United Locomotive Works, but we've waited for them for 2 years. I don't know whether we'll ever get them or not." "God, do we need them. Motive power, you can't imagine how important that is. That's the heart of everything." "What are you smiling at?" "Well, as I was saying, it's bad. But at least the Rio Norte line is set. The first shipment of rail will get to the site in a few weeks. In a year, we'll run the first train on the new track. Nothing's going to stop us this time." "Sure, I know who's going to lay the rail. McNamara of Cleveland. He's the contractor who finished the San Sebastian line for us. There, at least, is one man who knows his job. So we're safe. We can count on him. There aren't many good contractors left." "We're rushed as hell, but I like it. I've been coming to the office an hour earlier than usual, but she beats me to it. She's always there first." "What?" "I don't know what she does at night. Nothing much, I guess." "No, she never goes out with anyone. She sits at home mostly and listens to music. She plays records." "What do you care which records?" "Richard Halley. She loves the music of Richard Halley. Outside the railroad, that's the only thing she loves."